Welcome to Kinsman Redeemer Ministries, a Christian identity church that believes in the good news that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people are the true Israel of Scriptures. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mark Downey, and today's message is entitled The Gods of Shock and Awe. That's the new government name for their Iraqi war. And it's nothing but pulverizing the so-called enemy back to the Stone Age with thousands of high-tech bombs. And to a lot of people, it's more shock and revulsion than awe. I, out of curiosity, was looking in the Bible to see where this word awe is, and it's only found in a few places. And in Psalms 33:8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." It doesn't say stand in awe of bombs. So the reason why I titled this The Small G Gods of Shock and Awe is it appears that the Bush administration wants the people of the world to be in awe of the Bush administration and not God. And what irritated me more than anything, what got me going on this particular aspect of this new prelude to World War III, or Armageddon, as the Judeos would call it, I confess I was watching TBN after a week of the war. And it was a very patriotic evening of flags, and it was on a Pentecostal level, very charismatic and speaking in tongues, don't you know. And the character, who was very slick with his $50 hairdo that most of them get there, had some interesting things, and I got my yellow legal pad and started jotting down a few of the ridiculous things, non-biblical things, that he was saying. And you have to imagine what things are like on a hyped-up night at TBN. Well, this is one of those evenings. And he started off by saying, Iraq is going to be liberated, and Jesus is coming to your country. Of course, it was very choreographed, and they had the choir behind him very professionally entertain the masses in their boob tubes at home. And another Baal priest came out. I say Baal priest because one of the first responsibilities of a good Baal priest is to sacrifice your sons and daughters to the fires of Moloch. And isn't that what they're doing, sending our boys and girls to a foreign land with an uncertain future? Well, this other Baal priest was promising that the gift of democracy is coming to Iraq. Well, no wonder the Iraqis are opposed to Americans bringing their Western abominations to their culture. After all, democracy is just the new name for communism, and it's rule by the mob. But it used to be called mobocracy. And if we go back enough in history, we see that is exactly what our Israelite ancestors were doing at the base of Mount Sinai as the mob made their golden calf. Well, they said that the bondage is going to be broken tonight. Now, you notice how the news programs nowadays have the little running sentence at the bottom of your screen, and I confess, I watched an hour of this pseudo-patriotic drivel, and the continuing running sentence throughout this hour was, TBN family, pray for President Bush and all our military heroes as they defend our world. Well, the next thing really flabbergasted me when, after talking in tongues in the choir, and of course the preacher with the keynote address was a Negro woman, speaking in tongues, of course. They all got together with a giant American flag, and about 50 people were holding this thing, and they prayed for America, touching this flag. Now, if that isn't the biggest kind of idolatry one could imagine, I don't know what is. Some of it was actually humorous. One of these Baal priests said, "Let me hear some Holy Ghost crazy noise." Like, crazy noise? Okay. They said, "God is going to give America victory. So touch the flag and say, Jesus!" And then they said, "We pray in the spirit of the Hydra." Now, isn't that kind of weird? We pray in the spirit of the Hydra, where one head is cut off and nine others grow out of it. Figure that one out, folks. Well, I thought it was an hour program because they kept saying something spectacular is going to happen tonight. God is going to perform a miracle for America. And quite frankly, it was just one come on after another. And I guess it was maybe a 2-hour show because I wasn't going to continually play the carrot on a stick game. Well, if that wasn't bad enough, the next night I watched TBN again. And this time it was a little bit more sober presentation of a guy named Dr. Charles Stanley. Now, he's the kind of guy that, again, is very slick. Not so much charismatic, but he's for the more sober Judeo-Christians that are still, I guess if you could say, just as crazy as their charismatic counterparts. And he was justifying the war that Bush was waging against Iraq as well. He has on his website an article called "A Nation at War" and "A Christian's Duty in Time of War." And this is how the Baal priest distorts God's word by playing fast and loose. This is what he said. "When a nation goes to war, God's people need to fully understand their Heavenly Father's viewpoint about this matter." And I say it's too bad he doesn't fully understand it. He quoted Romans 3, saying, "Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known." I could say the same thing about Bush. I don't know who he was talking about. But he said, throughout the Old Testament, there are examples of God using warfare to carry out his plans, to punish the wicked, and preserve his people. Okay, we got a problem here. Because we know he's talking about Jews. And we know that this war with Iraq is not an American war. It's a war for Jews. And so when he says to preserve his people, he's talking about Antichrist Jews, of which are expanding their venue in the Middle East. He went on to say the government is ordained by God with the right to promote good and restrain evil. This includes wickedness that exists within the nation as well as any wicked persons or countries that threaten foreign nations. Well, now, as a National Socialist positive Christian, I could say this is what Adolf Hitler was doing, coming to the aid of his racial brethren throughout Europe against the Jewish threat that was destroying Europe at that time. He goes on to say, therefore, a government has biblical grounds to go to war in the nation's defense or to liberate others in the world who are enslaved. Well, we'll get into this a little later, just as to who is more enslaved, the American people or the Iraqi people. The Bible teaches, he goes on to say, that it is the responsibility of the government's leaders to protect the nation against those who would destroy it. But he doesn't seem to even have an inkling of understanding that that could possibly happen in this nation. He says, the Bible also instructs citizens in the proper way to respond when their country goes to war. I'd like to know where in the Bible it says that. For example, he says, it's a violation of the Word of God to refuse to defend your country if ordered. And he says, recall Romans 13. But what he doesn't state there is that that's not carte blanche for just any dictator that comes along expecting to be obeyed by some kind of divine right of kings. We've talked about that in the past. He says, according to this verse, we're to be submissive to the laws of the land. Well, now, I think it's safe to say that the laws of our land today are not the laws of God. He says the only reason we have for disobeying the government is if it requires us to behave in a way that clearly violates some specific verse or command of God. Specific? I guess even if it were a generalized violation, that then that wouldn't count. He says, someone might say, but I can't go to war because shooting the enemy would be murder. And the Bible says, you shall not murder. Actually, when a man in combat shoots his enemy under the command of the government without personal hatred, he's not committing murder. Instead, he is simply being obedient to the purpose for which he is fighting. And he goes on to say, to commit murder, a person must have vengeance and hatred against another. Many men have died on the battlefield without animosity toward anyone. They were fighting for a cause, defending or freeing their land. Therefore, if called, in other words, a draft, it is a citizen's national and biblical responsibility to defend his country. Now, it seems every war that comes along in the last 100 years, it's a war to end all wars. It's a war to save democracy. It's to stop communism, the domino theory. It's one lame soundbite after another. And I guess he's never been in the military himself, because you go to any basic training and you better believe they're teaching you and inculcating in your mind and spirit animosity. He goes on, even if we do not actually participate in the fighting, we are also called to create unity and harmony within the country. We need to support whatever decisions our nation makes, as long as they do not directly violate the Word of God. Oh, so I guess they can indirectly violate the Word of God? How can we justify the protest and marches against the war? Well, obviously, he doesn't want to. He says, I understand that in America, for example, we have a right to express our different opinions. Yeah, it's called the First Amendment. However, there comes a time when our personal opinion is not a priority. You know, he's very clever at the choice of words he uses here. He says, the only reason we have the freedom to protest in this country is because thousands were willing to die for that liberty in the past. Now, what he doesn't tell you is that was in 1776, when our founding fathers were going against those who interpret Romans 13 to be subject to any higher power. And our founding fathers had a little bit better understanding of Romans 13 than Charles Stanley. He says, instead of resisting, we should offer to serve the war effort in any way possible during this time, especially by encouraging and helping the families of our soldiers. And the most important and powerful thing we can do for our nation is pray. Pray for our president, leaders, military, and even our enemies. God honors the prayers of his children, and expects us to support those in authority. Well, who's in authority today in America? It's the Antichrist Jews! And obviously he forgot Acts 5:28-33. Let's refresh Charles Stanley's memory here as to who we should obey. And this is back when the apostles were getting very political about their faith. And the authorities at that time didn't like it, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. In other words, they weren't politically correct in their day. When it says cut to the heart, it means one of two things. When the gospel is preached in the power of spirit, it either convicts somebody of their sins or it enrages them, just like the protesters are enraging the Bush administration and his dogs of war in the churches. Let's not forget this young lady, Rachel Corrie. The news stories initially were that she had an accident with an Israeli bulldozer and died. Well, there is photographic evidence and eyewitnesses that it was deliberate murder. And if that was not enough, several days later, the Israeli Defense Forces disrupted a memorial to friends of Rachel that were honoring her sacrifice. Charles Stanley wants us to pray. He gives out a weekly prayer reminder card, Sunday through Saturday. And Charles Stanley wants us to pray for the president and his Jewish Antichrist advisors, that they will seek God and his wisdom daily and not rely on their own understanding. It isn't going to happen, because an Antichrist does not accept Jesus as Lord. Monday, we are to pray for the president and his Jewish advisors to do what is right regardless of critics. Oh, I see. I guess they're above criticism because they're such holy men. Yeah. Tuesday, pray for the president and his Jewish advisors that they will have the unified support of the American people as well as that of other countries around the world in their perfect New World Order without Christ. Wednesday, pray for the president and his advisors that they will be safe and free from fear. Well, I'll tell you something. They better be fearing God Almighty for what they're doing right now, because what they're doing is ungodly and unrighteous. It's an unjust war. Thursday, we should pray for the president and his Jewish advisors to be successful. Well, they're not going to be successful. They're going to fail in death and misery, just like every single other war that they have perpetrated since we let Jews into this country at the turn of the last century. Friday, we're supposed to pray for the president and his Jewish advisors to recognize their divine appointment and to govern accordingly in compassion, mercy, and truth. Again, they're living in the ozone. They're living in a dream world. It ain't going to happen. And then we should pray for our soldiers, it says here, to pray for their protection. Well, since the the war in Iraq began, they haven't been protected very well. Because one accident after another, helicopters crashing into each other, Patriot missiles running afoul, shooting down our own planes, friendly fire killing our own soldiers, are doing more harm than what the Iraqis themselves can do. It says, pray for their soldiers' wisdom. Well, they're not wise in their blind obedience to their New World Order masters. It says, pray for their courage. Well, they may be courageous, but it's not going to get them very far. It says, pray for peace, but I think it's a false peace. It says, pray for strength. They've got the biggest doggone high-tech tanks and guns that you can think of. And that still isn't going to be strong enough if they're fighting guerrilla urban warfare. And that's where the true test is going to come in a couple of weeks or days. And it says, pray for God to give our soldiers the help of His presence. And they may not know what they're asking for in that prayer. And finally, it says, pray for God to give our soldiers unity. And already, we've had our first fragging of a black Muslim throwing a couple of grenades in a tent that killed several Americans and wounded dozens more. I have a vision for this war in Iraq. And the Bible speaks of your old men having visions and your young men having dreams. And I've said time and time before that a vision is a plan with a purpose. And the vision I'm about to give you today is with the purpose of making Jesus Christ our focus and being our only perspective for war. Now, the particular vision that I'm about to tell you many times will be considered foolish or silly or unrealistic. And I can tell you one that I had about 10 years ago. And at that time, I was involved in the Populist Party. And I came to the conclusion that we have no leadership in this country. We are bankrupt of leadership at the top. And so I came up with the idea, the vision, of Jesus Christ for president. Think of it. And that was all a vision is to do, is to get people to think. And some people thought it was an ingenious idea, whereas others thought it was ridiculous. Well, the vision today, I'm going to tell you, is that, you know, we hear a lot about supporting our troops. And the vision is that I would add to that by saying, we support our troops to mutiny. Now, those that say I am anti-war, but I support our troops, is some kind of Orwellian doublespeak. It's like saying I'm anti-abortion, but I support the doctors who do it. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8. It makes me wonder if the American soldiers are without brains to think. And are there flag-waving, teary-eyed mothers without a clue? Is this the fulfillment of decades of dumbing down our children in public education? That they can march off to war with impunity? And that they can come home with their war crimes under their belt using the Nuremberg defense? Well, it didn't work for the Germans, but I guess it can work for us. And those that become lifers that make this Antichrist military a way of life can retire and suck on the teat of the New World Order after retiring. You know, these young boys, these troops over there, were nurtured on video games. And of late, the last couple of years, I think it started with Survivor, these reality programs, so that now our round-the-clock 24-hour coverage of the war in Iraq is just another reality TV program. We've been conditioned. We've been programmed to look at it as instant entertainment. It keeps getting worse for each generation to make moral decisions for their own accountability, just to be good tax slaves and cannon fodder. At this important juncture in history, we should be encouraging our troops to mutiny as a matter of their patriotic duty, and to disobey all orders which contravene the United States Constitution. And I'll tell you something, it can start with the arrest of that Jew General Tommy Franks and his minions of inmates running the asylum over there. I would gladly welcome a military coup d'etat, and that's French, by the way, and packing the cattle cars with the thousands of criminal politicians in the three branches of government who have intended shackles and guillotines for us. The Iraqi war itself is treasonous, and one is either with the traitors or against them. Everyone who is against this war should likewise put their money where their mouth is and refuse to file an income tax form with the IRS due in April. And you know, I think the government is anticipating this idea of a tax revolt, and I would speculate that to show what good guys they are, they're going to abolish the IRS and replace it with a national sales tax and other grievous taxations, such as taking 40% of your inheritance to make up the difference, and people will be raped financially just as they were before. Well, I think now is the time for a paradigm shift and a spiritual awakening to the jackasses of evil in our own country. Maybe that's why foreigners hate us so much, because they think we're stupid. As a Vietnam veteran, I'm sick and tired of the hackneyed propaganda that tries to pass itself off as something intelligent. Well, let's raise the stakes and just say hell no to Zog, and then let them try to arrest millions of whom they cannot control. Instant revolt can happen. Don't let anybody tell you it can't. It happened in the Philippines. It happened in Romania. And so I proudly put my name to this revelation and will stand in the gap. But like any vision, George Bush has a vision that if everybody just does what he says, then everything will be fine. The only problem with that is that it's not Christian. Well, I've so far gotten a little bit of a response from discussion groups on the internet, and it's surprising that we still have some double-minded people within our own movement that are against the war, but think we should still support our troops. Here's what one gentleman said. He says, well, I've been guilty of saying this also, but now I support the war because God caused it. Regardless of man's reasons for the war, God has a purpose through or for the war. In this instance, I support the war. Our troops, I support because I feel the majority of them are white. They're God's battle axe. Therefore, God is using his people to do something that I do not know. It's another mystery. Well, I responded to this guy and I told him, well then, George Washington and the Christian American revolutionaries must have been guilty as well. And I say those who say support our troops, they are not innocent of mindless acquiescence to evil. Of course, Isaiah 45:7 confirms that God says, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The Hebrew word for evil here is ra, R-A, and is translated as sorrow, adversity, calamities, and could infer the opposite of peace, that is, war. God created this evil war as the sure fruits of sin, to be sure. God brings good out of evil. Man cannot. man is not God, and this is not a godly war. It is a war perpetrated by men who are playing God. And that's what I talked about in a recent sermon about satanic deception, the magicians of occult societies like Bush and Company, Skull and Bones, Freemasonry, Illuminati, you name it. They're playing God. Therefore, to support the warriors of an unjustified war is to support evil, not God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it admonishes us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, God causes skunks to stink, but that doesn't mean I have to stick my nose in it and pretend I'm smelling a rose. I then got another response from a gentleman that said he and his brother were discussing this very topic, and he expressed to him that he did not want the war, but that we should support God's will. And it was his will for us to be in this war, simply because we were in it. This war may be evil, but as 2 Chronicles says, God wanted someone to go to war, and he sent a spirit to deceive him into going. If God chose to deceive the president, I support God's will. I also have concern for the young white troops that are there. Then he quotes 2 Chronicles 18:18-22. And Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left. The Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, how? And he said, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, you are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of these prophets. For the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. My response. Consider Romans 12:2. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would you agree that the U.S. government is not a reflection of God's will at the moment, but is in fact just the opposite, and could even be argued that it's satanic, and that war is the effect, not the cause, of God's will? And so, if we are unequally yoked together with those who are conformed to this new world order of the Bush crime family, what possible fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Can you see the mischief that this sort of logic can have in justifying any type of sin by passing it off as God's will? The possibilities are unlimited. Doesn't it make sense that the perfect will of God is for us not to be conformed to this world? Remember, I mentioned the TBN running sentence at the bottom of the screen. It said, their world. God chose Nebuchadnezzar to go mad. Does that mean that we should all start getting down on all fours and eating grass like he did? Your reference to 2 Chronicles 18, I told him, reminds me of all the false prophets we have in Judeo-Christianity, otherwise known as Baal worship, who are nothing but modern Baal priests who advocate the lies of Zionist propaganda. How many more Jew wars are we to tolerate, sacrificing our sons on the altars of Moloch? As such, God is true to his promises and will accommodate the idols of man's heart. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This means everybody, including young white troops. One avenue of which they may avail themselves of not conforming to the world is mutiny. Now, I found another interesting editorial by a fellow named Mark Lyons, and it says, "Why should we support U.S. troops?" A cry we hear often nowadays is, "Support our troops." Many are saying that whether or not you agree with the government, you should support the troops because they're just doing their duty. I say horse feathers. A soldier's duty is to remain ever true, semper fidelis, to the oath which he or she has sworn to uphold. Now here's the law. Here's American law that these troops better think about. 5 U.S. Code, Section 3331. And this is the soldier's oath. Quote, "An individual, except the president, elected or appointed to an office of honor or profit in the civil service or uniformed services, shall take the following oath. I, so-and-so, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God." This section does not affect other oaths required by law. It is therefore incumbent upon the soldier to understand the Constitution, what it allows and what it disallows to the federal government, and the rights retained by the states and the people. If the soldiers were truly doing their duty, they would be standing up and telling their commander-in-chief that they will not fight without a declaration of war by Congress as required by the Constitution. Remember that they have an obligation as determined by the courts to disobey an illegal order. They will also stand up and call for the impeachment of George W. Bush and his cronies, and for many representatives and senators who violate the Constitution by proposing laws that directly contravene it. They will support the Constitution by working to understand it and its historical underpinnings better. They will call for a repeal of all laws, especially gun control laws, which are in conflict with the Constitution. They will work to ensure their elected officials also understand and support the Constitution, as they have sworn under oath to do. When the soldier carries out his or her oath and truly supports and defends the Constitution against all enemies, even if that includes their commander-in-chief, then and only then can they lay claim to the support of the populace. And that is the only time I, for one, will go on record as supporting our troops. May we each evaluate our position on this issue. May we each ask ourselves, are our troops really blameless in this? What would happen if each and every soldier had the courage of Michael New, who stand up for the oath he or she swore? Remember, Michael New is the young man who refused to wear that baby blue beret of the United Nations. May we each pray to God and be protected from tyrants, and that our constitutional government may be restored. Last of all, may we each take the oath quoted above as a personal oath, one by which we choose to live and die. So help us God. I have a few other comments I made on discussion groups. And One was a comment on what I just read from Mark Lyons. And I said, excellent points made in the Mark Lyons article. I said, I like the quote that the gentleman that posted it said from Scriptures, Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Let's hear those who are against this war, what they have to say before we judge them from the talking media whores, the talking heads that use intimidation and lies to quiet resistance. And, you know, I think we've got too much TV that's doing the thinking for millions of Americans. We should be mindful that there is heavy mass hypnotism that's being employed by the establishment media, the fourth branch of government. It's interesting to note that in Iraq, one does not need to register with the government in order to buy a gun. Nor is a driver's license required to drive a car. And our traitorous leaders have the audacity to talk about freedom. Operation Iraqi Freedom. Yeah, right. You know, I heard an anecdote the other day that our highwaymen, these state troopers, are getting so bad now because of their greed. They stopped this guy for driving on the white line, and they leveled a $150 fine on this guy. It would have cost him $140 to fight it. And so what he decided to do was to pay the fine in pennies. I ask you, imagine 10,000 Michael News or a million drivers that pay their fines in pennies who refuse to follow the ungodly, unconstitutional orders of these megalomaniacs in Washington, D.C., District of Criminals. Who, then, do the American sheeple, the helpless Joe Sixpacks, support? Food for thought. And I hope we don't die of starvation. Scripture says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There are some misguided individuals in our movement who don't totally understand World War II or National Socialism. And there was this gentleman that posted on a group the other day. He said, Sieg Heil, brothers and sisters. Supporting our troops is the right thing to do. I am in the Bundeswehr. Mutiny and all is crap. It will get you killed or imprisoned for life. Our soldiers should not show any leniency towards the Iraqi army, as they won't show any towards our people. I am totally against the war, but now, since it started, better support our own blood and kin rather than some mad Arab. I had to respond to this. And I said, Sieg Heil my ass. There's not a dime's worth of difference between this Jewish war in Iraq and the Jewish war against Germany in World War II. Jewish wars get our boys killed, and in 1968, I was threatened with imprisonment if I did not comply with the draft. 58,000 dead in Vietnam. And now, 60,000 body bags have been sent to Iraq. Does Bush and company know something we don't know? Our soldiers should not show any leniency towards their commanding officers who are race traitors and follow Jewish orders. Aggression against sand niggers is like whacking a stick at a hornet's nest. Real smart, huh? Self-defense, yes. Offensive actions, no. This has nothing to do with supporting Arabs. It has everything to do with our kin being tricked into another no-win war for Jews. this Jews media generated mantra of being against the war but supporting our troops is the bipolar schizophrenic dialectics of institutionalized insanity. How many times must the pattern repeat itself as the Jews harvest another crop of ritualized murder of the Goyim? And let's stop right there and read Romans 8:35 and 36. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'll tell you, the Jew. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, in other words, war? As it is written, not in the scriptures, but it's referring here to the Babylonian Talmud. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's how Jews feel about white Christians. Wake up, people. Snap out of your comatose dream world. If you have any kind of racial consciousness, you are the target regardless of whether or not you're in uniform. A blank check for supporting our troops is supporting the mad, hook-nosed monsters in Tel Aviv. And that is not only crap, but suicide as well. Had another dialogue with a young man who's in the service. And he said, with all due respect to Pastor Downey, what you're suggesting is entirely unrealistic. I'm sorry, but I'm in the army. And if I were to refuse my orders, what would that do? I would have gone back on my word first and most importantly. Then there is the most obvious in your mutiny. I would be either killed or jailed for probably the rest of my life. I am a man of principle, so this is not an easy situation. Under no will but my own, I enlisted. Seeing as how I'm 17, it wasn't an easy task either. I had to involve my parents and school in the process. But the point remains, I gave my word to carry out whatever orders I was given. I do agree with you in that this war is not exactly a great cause. But regardless, I have to do what I am told. Now, listen to this. I have to do what I'm told in Iraq, North Korea, Israel, and New Jersey. Yeah. I hope this may give you an idea of where white nationalists in the military, and yes, there are a lot of us, stand on this subject. Well, I told him, I can sympathize with your unenviable position. However, drastic times require drastic measures. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. A vision, again, is a plan with a purpose and may seem unrealistic, yet it is a means of salvation from our mortal enemies. Doing whatever you can without getting caught is similar to the biblical notion of be ye therefore wise as serpents and pure as doves. It is wiser to generate this idea of mutiny rather than just individually going off willy-nilly like a fly flying into one of those purple bug lights. Get the momentum of mutiny going with the word mutiny scribbled everywhere on everything, and then set a date for the world to witness. It almost happened in Vietnam. When I was in Vietnam, there was a number of musicians that toured with different USO groups, and flyers had been distributed throughout all four sectors of Vietnam, and a date was set for thousands of U.S. troops to come to what was under the table being called Woodstock, Vietnam. And we even had permission from the general that provided the Long Bin amphitheater where Bob Hope entertained the troops. Well, What happened was there was an AP story that broke about this. And you better believe the Pentagon or the White House called that general to put the Jewish kibosh on it immediately. We appreciated the anti-war protesters back in the States at that time. And to reciprocate, we were going to sit down and we were not going to go back out in the field. That was the undercurrent that was going on at that time. I was there. I was a witness to what was going on. And I'm telling you, it can happen again. Maybe our troops just need to see a little bit more blood and gore. I don't mean Al Gore either. Because like this young man who volunteered, he took an oath to defend the Constitution and the USMCJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice, which required him to disobey any order that is not in accord with American law. Agreed, we have gone way beyond the law of the land, as the IRS is merely pretend laws that are colorable law and legalized plunder. I told him that seeing that he was enlisted at age 17, according to God's law, he was not at the age of maturity, which is biblically the age of 20, to contract or to go to war. And therefore, if he's a white Christian, he's not bound by the traditions of man. The principle of mutiny is that the given authority has become a clear and present danger to the welfare and sanity of a moral society. You don't have to do what you're told. You can fudge, you can delay, you can be hard of hearing. Be creative. If you think you have to follow orders in Israel or New Jersey, you need to reevaluate your white nationalist priorities, buddy. You have the moral dilemma of either being the greatest American of heroes or the most spineless whores in uniform ever to blemish our racial heritage. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now we also read in Proverbs 29:18, and I mentioned this before, that where there is no vision, in other words, where there's no plan with a purpose to make Jesus Christ the focus, it says the people perish. We need a vision in this trying time of war. And there's much disinformation going on and hypocrisy. Just the other day, Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, was complaining about the Syrians giving the Iraqi soldiers night vision goggles, as if that would be unfair. It's almost as if the American authorities are so deluded that they proclaim, you mean they can actually shoot back? And of course, these are not enemy combatants to those that represent our country invading a foreign land as such. No, the Orwellian doublespeak is that they're terrorists. And, you know, they're not playing fair when they're dressing in civilian clothing and then trick our guys to think that they're surrendering. Well, do you think that we might have some green berets in Baghdad right now in civilian clothes and costumed to appear as being Iraqi? You know, they might be Hispanic or swarthy looking enough to pass and accomplish their mission as spies and to kill terrorists. To one who has eyes to see, the hypocrisy is really overwhelming. And so as we proceed in the days and weeks ahead, compare what the Bush administration has to say with the real Word of God. And knowing that the Baal priests, the Charles Stanleys, the hyper-charismatics are not going to convince me or anybody else that this is a war worth fighting and dying for Antichrist Jews. No, we need to ask ourselves some serious questions as to what's going on in this day and age. we need to have an investigation back to 9/11 and the Jewish-Israeli complicity of their involvement and how everything has followed since that date. We need to question authority, because if we don't, we are no better than the slaves that make clinking noises in their chains and shackles. Let us conclude with Hosea 4:6. Our people are destroyed for lack of vision. It also says, which we're more familiar with, that even Judeo-Christians read, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But usually they don't read the rest of that verse, which I think we need to take notice of today. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. A lot of people reject what I have to say today in this sermon message. God says, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, because they've become priest of Baal. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, seeing that the Constitution, which is based on Mosaic law, and English common law is based on the Bible, which is no longer the law of the land. It says, I will also forget thy children. What a curse. We read in Deuteronomy 28 all about blessings and curses. And one of those curses has to do with war. And it says, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, and unto the beast of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. Our children are in peril, are in harm's way because of the enemies of God. Yes, we should support them, but we should support them to mutiny. Hail Jesus, our Christ, praying the Arian benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of the white race, and I will bless them. Amen.